The following was recorded live by the Phoenix Podcast Club.
Welcome to the Podcaster on the Hot Seat. And I hate that name, which is a terrible name. We are going to have to find a much better name for it. That's why I call it a placeholder name. But
yes,
once you, someone comes with a more clever than this, you will certainly let me know. This is an event where we in the Phoenix Podcast Club can learn from other Phoenix podcasters. We're going to learn about how they produce their episodes. We're going to learn about the tech stack that they use. We're basically going to go through the soups and nuts from them. They will show you how they do it. And the reason we're doing it this way is because there is no one right way to make a podcast.
Yeah, there is.
There are a lot of wrong ways to make a podcast.
No.
Did you introduce yourself?
I have not introduced myself. That's part of my process. I don't do that first. Hang on. We are getting there to that. So that is the plan that we are going to do here for the next 30 minutes or so. My name is Evo Terra. I am one of the organizers for the Phoenix Podcast Club. Everybody at this table happens to be organizers of the Phoenix Podcast Club, too. Thank you. We have no titles beyond organizer of. That's sufficient for me. And I am now going to cede the floor to our podcaster in the hot seat, Mr. Don Burnside, who will be talking about how he makes white roof radio. Podcast he has been making for damn near 20 years.
20 years since 2005. That's correct. Evo, thank you very much. Welcome to this particular event, everybody. For those of you who didn't make it, and for those of you who are curious, I am recording tonight, so you'll notice there's nothing on the screen. So I didn't prepare a deck because I didn't know we had a screen. So what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to record this, and then I'll provide links in the episode details when I publish this podcast. And for those of you who don't know who I am, my name's Don Burnside. Some people know me as DB. That's how I'm known in the Mini Cooper world on the internet for the last 20 years. And this kind of has to start back in 2003. This is the short version of what would have going to be my introduction for my Ignite talk, sort of, that I've built in my head but never wrote down. And basically, it boils down to I'm here because of a Mini Cooper. I am sitting where I'm sitting right now talking to these people. You're listening to the sound of my voice because I owned a Mini Cooper and I bought it in 2003. And then we started the Mini Cooper Club, the largest, most active club in the United States in Southern California. It's been running since 2003. I started that club. One of the people that started that club. From there, we went to Vegas and we took over the Las Vegas Strip with 250 minis 1 year. It was freaking nuts. Then Mini noticed us. Oh no, then I started the show in 2005. Oh, it's awful. Oh God, it's awful. I recorded with a stick mic on Audacity on Windows 7. Good, well, it was 2005. It might have been Windows XP, but I'm pretty sure it was that. Anyway, it was bad. I did it again. It was still really bad. And I kept doing it, and it kept getting a little bit better. And then my co-host and producer, Todd Pearson, my best friend, he heard, said, dude, I've been doing this too, but I haven't shared mine because I don't have any balls. So I'm going to team up with you, and let's do one together. And I'm like, great, let's do that. We did like three, and it was just like boom, boom, boom. And we said, let's make this a permanent thing. So we did. White Roof Radio was born August 1st, 2005. From there, Mini USA noticed. We're on the Mini blogs. We were on the Mini news sites. We've been to Amsterdam. I have a passport because of this stupid car. Are you kidding me? We have driven from coast to coast, hosting as many as 1,500 Mini Cooper owners in a morning meeting before they go off driving across the United States. This is what we've got to do. It's super duper cool. I couldn't be happier with how this has turned out. And this is all because I make this little show called White Roof Radio. I make the show with three other fellas. As I've already mentioned, Todd Pearson, he's our production backup producer. He does a lot of the editing and whatnot when I'm not available. And we have a news guy, Gabe Bridger. He also works with us, and with his websites are Motoring File and Bimmer File, been a huge partner for White Roof Radio. And then we have our chief mechanic, Chad Miller from Detroit Tune, the premier Mini Cooper automotive repair shop, tuning shop, online shop that you can find in the United States, DetroitTune.com. There'll be links to all this in the episode details. And those guys, just so you guys know, their gear, because we don't meet together. Todd's in Kansas City, Gabe's in Chicago, and Chad's in Detroit.
So, and you're in Phoenix.
And I'm in Phoenix. Yes, I am in Phoenix, as I just verified. So Todd's using, all of us have high-speed internet, obviously. Todd's using a Shure SM7B. I don't know what headphones he's got, and he's running that oddly weird still through an Alesis Multimix 8.
Wow.
My guess he's using gold-plated USB cables because it's the quietest connection I've ever heard.
A cloud lifter or something in there.
Chad's
too.
Doing the same thing, but he's using a Shure SM58 because he's punk rock like that.
Nice.
Same thing. Never hear any hiss or noise from his. Bizarre. And Gabe, who we have the biggest trouble with, he's using one of the upgraded Logi mics, USB podcaster mics, the ones that are on like the cool thing. He probably spent a lot of money on it. It sounds pretty okay. Really, him rather not use it, but he doesn't listen to us very well and stuff like that. He has a bad voice for USB microphones, but we get him as best we can.
What do you use?
And then my microphone, which we were going to go ahead and start with my personal tech stack. My microphone is a TZ Stellar X3. This microphone came out as, and it was promoted as being equivalent to sounding as good as a Neumann, whatever the Neumann mic is. Mm. And
it's not $1,100.
Not $1,100. This microphone only cost me $400. And it sounds as good. My voice luckily works with a dynamic mic very well, and I've got it on a shock mount and all of that. Just a cheap shock mount. It's attached to not my table that my laptop lives on while I record. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then from there, I'm using generic cables, and it runs into a Focusrite 2II2.
So you say generic cables. You're talking XLR cables, right?
Generic XLR cable from the microphone to the Focusrite. The Focusrite 2II2 is only one thing in it, and that's my microphone. That's why I just have the little baby 2II2, and that is connected via USB-C to this MacBook Air right here, M2 MacBook Air. Anybody who thinks you can't do audio with a MacBook Air with the M-series chip, they're wrong.
I do it.
If you're only doing audio and you're not recording albums or full bands or studio work, you're recording podcasts or you're doing little things, get an M-series Air. This machine will do it. This thing exports an hour's worth of audio in like less than a minute at high quality wave. It's great. Just get one of these.
On your microphone, are you holding that in your hand?
No, I measure that either. Also, I've got a shock mount attached to, I have a little server rack. No, actually I have a second desk in my office, and that is attached to the desk that I don't use so that I don't get any vibration off of the desk that I'm on. So I can type, I can use a mouse, I can punch my screen, whatever, and it doesn't pick up the vibration.
So you've got that microphone mounted to a totally separate unit, so it's isolated from sound and whatnot. There's some sort of a boom that comes over to you.
Yeah, it's one of the cheap Amazon $20 booms, and I freaking hate it because I'm just a cheapskate and I haven't updated it yet. Get a good boom, which I will do when I get the when I upgrade to, not really upgrade, but when I switch to a Shure SM7B.
Right. How are you recording?
I haven't gotten there yet. So
sorry.
So from there, we use Riverside FM as our studio. This is exclusively. We grew up trying to make Skype work, and we made Skype work. And
yes, we did.
We all in this room currently, and some of you will never have to experience this, but Skype was a heartless bitch. I mean, there's no other way to say it.
That's why Microsoft bought it. So
And they incorporated it into Teams. Teams will work a little bit better than Skype.
But now you're using Riverside FM.
But now we're using Riverside FM. And dedicated. Riverside FM, I get angry with Riverside FM about as often as I get really angry with Blogger, and Blogger would eat your post. Riverside happens to me like once. It's been pretty reliable. I think I've only had a glitch once. And that was just a bad night for everybody. The only downside to Riverside FM, actually to any of those online studios, Descript, any of them actually, is you have to use Google Chrome. So if you don't like using Google Chrome, like I don't, you can then use Internet Explorer instead.
Or Vivaldi,
Microsoft Edge.
Or whatever. Yeah,
there's a few that are I use any Chromium browser except for actually Safari. Safari will not work.
Will you?
It's not any Chromium browser.
Safari's
it's any
Chromium.
Google browser.
Safari's not Chrome.
No, it's not, but Microsoft Edge is.
Edge.
I was looking at the icon and I said Microsoft Edge after I said Internet Explorer.
Don, I have a question about the Riversiding. Riverside, I know, has both audio only and video. Are you capturing the video of the four of you as well?
For this show, I don't, because we've been doing the show for so long and we are all tuned into each other pretty well. If anything, video is distracting for us. We don't need the video. anymore when we record a show, and we don't talk over each other very much. And we all know our own vocal cues. And the video, everybody just turns into a freaking ham, and then we can't make a show.
So do you actually turn off the video when you record?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
No, well, everybody turns their cameras off.
Okay, cameras
and,
off.
And when I export out of Riverside, I just export the audio only, high quality audio.
Okay. I was curious.
I've done the video before, like for work projects and stuff, and it works really great.
Sweet.
Yeah. And I'm going to stay on Riverside here for just another minute.
Do it.
Is Riverside, all I use Riverside for is just to record. Riverside, Descript, and all those others, they all have a UI that baffles me. Honestly, I can't use Descript at all. I just can never figure it out. Riverside's the easiest I've found to record and capture multiple ends of a conversation in a very nice way. And it returns really nice audio. I don't use any of the editing features. I don't use any of the AI crap. I don't build the show there, nothing. I use Riverside as my recording studio, and that's it. And then when we're done, I say, just wait a minute. Everybody's upload's finished, which is a nice thing about Riverside. Riverside does what's called a double ender. So when you're logging to Riverside FM, or any of these services, actually, they record locally for you, which is why you have to use a Chrome browser to use these, because they need the whatever Google's written into the browser framework to allow that to happen.
Yeah.
And then you end up on a show, and you could have a host who's got like an AOL dial-up account, and he's connected, and you hear every other word, and he comes up, his audio comes up, and it's just like, oh my God, it's crystal clear,
right?
Because it's recorded local and then uploaded later. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that's one of the benefits of using this, and that's a feature Skype never had.
No robot voice.
But I don't use any of the other features because I've played. Who wants to edit audio with words? I mean,
the next generation of podcasters.
Not
people know that I use a DAW. Yes.
I don't understand.
Right. No, I've tried it. It's hard.
Like, it's weird. So that's my process. That gets us recorded. So before that is we do two shows when we record. So we have our pre-show, and that's what we're talking about, what we're going to talk about for the main show. We cuss, we curse, we smoke, we drink, we talk trash, all this kind of stuff. And at some point I just started recording it. And then that's my bonus episode that I use for monetization. That if a listener wants to give me money, I put it on Buy Me a Coffee. And if they want, here's a dollar. But if you just want to go over to Buy Me a Coffee, it's free. Just download it. I don't care. Not only that, but I've created an RSS feed for that show that I don't charge for. They have to go over to Bring Me a Trailer to get it, right? And then there's an opportunity. And maybe it's like, oh, well, I'm here. Here's a couple bucks. Mm. And the money just goes to paying for my hosting bill. Big deal. But we are listener support. I don't have any ads anymore. I don't have any sponsors.
Nice.
Yeah, because we record, and you'll notice as I talk is everything I do is not only is it easy, but it's weird because I do everything in a very linear fashion. I have a start. Everything starts with the beginning, and it does. Everything has to happen in order. If it doesn't happen in order for me, something gets lost. Something gets broken, a distraction, whatever. And it's like, no. That doesn't. It's got to be simple.
Got
my
it.
Setup for me is extraordinarily simple. We start the show. We record the show in Riverside. We do all that. We say goodnight. I hit exit, and I download it.
Do you have any audio tracks or transitions or anything?
We do absolutely nothing in Riverside.
Okay.
I do everything else in post.
Okay, so that's in post.
Yeah, that's everything. If there's any sound effects, the theme music. It's basically just theme music, and then any other bits that I put in. We have crazy ESPN sound and music when we introduce Gabe sometimes when we're being ridiculous, and it sounds really.
We'll get to that when we're in the production.
Monday
how do
Night
I produce?
Stuff.
Right.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
Got it. Cool.
So I do all that post. So we recorded the show. I've downloaded the show. It's a high quality wave. I don't download MP3s. I let Riverside do its little processing, so it does
the aligned audio. I believe is what it's called.
Yeah, the aligned audio, and then where they make everybody, they level.
Oh, they got a levelator inside.
They levelate it.
Cool.
So they volume level everybody. They set the LUFS whatever you want. And I have it set to, I think, 14, minus 14. And then I download that after they've chewed it, processed it, and I get that file. It's like, okay, cool. Then from there, we go into Hindenburg. Hindenburg, without any plugins, Hindenburg plain. I don't use plugins because I'm not an audio engineer. I'm a podcaster. I need to get this thing done. right? This is what I'm doing. I need to make a show. I'm downloading an hour and 30 minutes worth of audio that I have to cobble together into a listenable show. I do it all in line, like I said. So I've recorded the show with the intro, the show, and the outro. And if there were any sponsor pieces, those also be in line in the order in which they appear within the show.
Wow.
That's the way I do it.
Good enough.
And it's weird. And I do it all at once. And everybody has to sit there as I do the sponsor reads. But that's part of the show. And that's part of their whole experience. So they don't mind. Anyway, download, open up in Hindenburg. Go through the edit. I import in my theme show music, my theme music for the show.
Hang on, time out.
Go.
This is all good. This is all good information. Are we in the how I produce an episode now?
Yes, we are in the how I produce an
episode. Can I back you up a little bit?
You most certainly can.
I would like to know information about prep.
Picking topics.
How do you pick a topic? What do you do ahead of time? That kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. And let me just kind of start back. Let me remind you that I like easy. Yep. I need easy. Not only do I need easy, but my guys need easy too. We don't spend a lot of time on the show because we've been doing this for so long and we're tied into our specific community, the Mini Cooper community.
Yep.
We know what's happening because we were on Instagram or on Facebook or on the Motoring File site, which is Gabe's website, the news site. And usually when we do a show, it's just what news stories are we going to cover? And then to what extent are we going to talk about that? Or how much backstory do we have that we can kind of toss in for flavor? And that's the kind of stuff we talk about pre-show that we record. And then I release to the listeners that are the biggest fans.
So you're doing your show prep
on
the fly because you're all subject matter experts.
Correct.
And you're discussing what you're going to do. And then you basically get a rundown of what it is we're about to talk about.
Yep.
Got it.
And that rundown becomes part of the beginning of the intro to the listener special.
Yeah, of course. Great.
So they all know. Got it. And then, you know, we do other little bits for the listeners like, oh, hey, so-and-so, thanks for kicking in $5 last month or that kind of thing.
Yep.
So Hindenburg, I assemble the show. I go through, I make all my cuts. I put all my sound effects in, make all my edits. Then I go to export from Hindenburg.
But can I back up again?
A step there before that too. Sorry.
One more time. So you guys record for an hour and a half
ish.
How long are your episodes?
So what we end up with in that process is we end up with a pre-show of 15 to 30 minutes long.
Okay.
And then we'll end up with an actual episode that's anywhere from 45 to an hour 10 long.
So it doesn't sound like you're doing a lot of editorial edits. You're preserving most of your show.
Yeah, I'm editing for stupid stuff that we said, ooh, we should probably not say that. Yes, ma'am. You have a question.
Did that change from when you started to today?
No, it's always been the same way. So
it's just better now.
Well,
that's what I was asking.
When we started, we would just talk. And then we were hyper focused. Oh, I got to remove the ahs and the ums and the other miscellaneous crap or shits.
Yes.
Or crap or, you know, just. And then now we just don't do that anymore. We don't remove shit. We leave shit in. literally.
I would imagine you're all better at what you
do. Oh, yeah. We're all better at what we do. We have better tools. We have better microphones now.
But also, you just know what you're talking about. So there's less.
We have 20 years of experience.
20 years of experience, yeah. So there's less. You know, fuck, we're talking about now type stuff, right? All that is gone.
Yeah. Yes. And not only that, because we've been doing this for 20 years, we're also all best friends. So even if we're not talking about the actual content of the show, we're talking about something that's we're engaged with, and our listeners like hearing that.
So really, you're using Hindenburg as an assembly tool, mostly.
No, I edit. The editing that I have to do, there's a little bit, because I have one audio file.
Right.
Well, that has to get cut so I can put in music, and there's little edits, stuff that I have to remove here and there or whatever.
And to break up the pre-show and the main
show. And to break up, and then, which becomes two separate files.
But once again, you're not doing a content edit. You're not going through listening to what Todd said and saying,
actually,
these are the hot spots I want to do with that kind of stuff. Yeah, got it.
So my editing process, again, is weird as I'm watching the timeline, and I just sit there and I listen to the show. Mm-hmm. I listen all the way through. And it's like, okay, here's the intro. Set that aside for right now. It's there, but I'll come back to that because I have a certain way I put in my intro music. Mm-hmm. And then here's the show at the right spot. So it fades out and all that. And then all the show and then the exit music, which is the other end of our theme song.
Got it.
So the theme song gets half of it's for here and half of it's for there.
How many tracks on your Hindenburg file?
Two.
wait a minute. You have four individual audio tracks of your
Did I mention this has to be easy for me?
I understand.
I also mention I'm not an audio engineer?
I understand all of this stuff, but so tell me your two audio tracks then.
My audio tracks is the show. I download a single wave file.
So when you download Riverside, you do not download Todd and Don and whatever.
No. Oh, no. No.
Wow.
No. No.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Okay, got it. I let them do it. The mix down.
Correct. Oh, I'm not an audio engineer. Okay. I'm really not.
All right.
And I've tried doing that. Todd can do that.
Right.
That's a lot of work. Yes. I don't have a lot of time and I don't have a lot of...
Understood. All right. So you're...
My frustration level is set for this show. And if I increase that, then it doesn't...
No, it's fine. I do more about what I'm saying than trying to change it, what you want to do.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Riverside does the leveling for you.
Yes.
And mixing.
You're mostly only... segmenting with a few spot checks where you maybe take something out.
Yep.
Is there any other audio massaging you do?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you got a music track?
I put some music in. I've got our, there's no bumpers. There's no bumpers.
How long does that usually take in the post-processing?
Post takes me...
I mean, you have to listen to the entire thing, right? And make edits. Where it's a couple of hours.
It's typically 2-to-1 is my edit process.
Oh my god!
So if it's anything that I edit, it's 2-to-1. If I do voiceover, it's 2-to-1.
3-to-1 in my world, but yeah.
It takes me 2-to-1, but it's 2-to-1, 3-to-1 if I add in the promotion stuff, which I'm not doing so much.
We're not to the promotion
stuff yet, anyhow.
Got it. Okay, thank you. So two tracks in your Hindenburg.
Two tracks.
Music
in my
track. Your vocal track. Export that out.
I open up Hindenburg, lets you do the full export, and there's a piece of that there's another piece of that I'm going to talk about here in just a second, because Hindenburg's got the export screen. I would show you if I'll put it in a screenshot of it in the show description, just so you get an idea. But it allows you to edit the meta tags. Have you done this?
Yes.
Yeah, and allows you to edit the meta tags.
I don't, but yes, I know I can do it.
And attach your show art and other things.
You can even do chaptering inside of there, too.
And you could do chaptering, which I don't do chaptering because, again, low friction.
That's way harder. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very difficult. We've done it
as a
goof, but also chaptering used to only work on iPhones. So that's another reason why we don't do it. We actually have a lot of
listeners. It works more now on a lot of other things. But again, if there is no point, and you guys are talking about one thing.
We're talking about one thing. We're not a new show. We're just talking about Mini Coopers and other miscellaneous things that are Mini Cooper related.
Okay.
Everything. That's how it is. It's
export your ID3 tags. What are your export settings off the top of your head?
-14 lufs again, and that's on medium quality MP3 stereo.
Okay.
Because I don't care about file. I didn't say anything to you. Because I don't care about file sizes anymore. Because nobody cares about file sizes anymore. Everybody has one of these. Everybody has unlimited data. We're not downloading podcasts with a dial-up account in the middle of the night anymore, like we used to have to do using.
You have a lot of listeners in South Africa.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of listeners in South Africa.
Australia.
Where are you storing the final MP3s?
Oh yeah, we didn't do that.
We haven't gotten that far yet.
We're still editing the show. It's all good. That's all good. We're still editing the show.
So we're still editing the show. So once the show's done, then there's another step that I do, but it's not as involved as it used to be. It's open an app called Fission. Fission is made by the boys over at Rogue Amoeba. Mm-hmm. I love the boys at Rogue Amoeba.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying this is why you want a Mac, so you can use Rogue Amoeba apps. Fission is brilliant. Fission is a non-destructive audio editor.
But you've already edited all the audio in Hindenburg.
Yeah, but you know what's nice about it? Is I can open an MP3 in Fission. And save it.
And what?
Save it. Like you save a Word document.
Yeah.
You control S. You don't have to export. It doesn't recompress. None of that. It edits the MP3 directly.
So hang on. So, and I just want to understand this. Yeah. So you've exported your final file out of Hindenburg.
Yep.
And then you open it in Fission.
Correct.
Why?
And do what?
Resave it?
So Fission was my tool to do the meta tags.
Ah.
And put in the art. Before I was doing it with Hindenburg.
Okay.
So I still bring it in to check my meta tags, and there's one or two that aren't available in Hindenburg that I like to put over here. I forgot which one it's. I don't remember.
So you're finishing your tagging.
I finished my tagging in here, and also I can. And if I forget to put the show art in, I can do that here as well.
Got
the show art is typically an image from one of the news one of the news stories that we've discussed, or something else that I found, or something else that one of the guys have shared.
Got it.
Then I bring that into an app called Acorn. I resize it square and 16 by 9. Square is for the show. That one goes in. 16 by 9 is for the post,
and
which we'll get to later. And I always do both.
See, I heard you said I export it as share as square, comma 16 by 9.
Oh no, square and. No, square and.
No, you said it that way. I just did not hear it.
And then that image is whatever the image is, and then I stick the show's logo on the image in a corner somewhere. As like a copyright claim, but more as just like you looking at the screen. And it's like, oh, this is White Roof Radio.
And what was the tool that you did doing the
image work? I use a program called Acorn.
Acorn.
An image editor called Acorn.
Okay.
I like the indie guys and their apps. Acorn, Rogue Amoeba.
Okay, cool.
Panic. Right. These are my guys.
All right.
So from there, the show's done. Hooray. Now we're going to talk about
publishing. To promotion.
So from here, what I have to do is I've typically already started typing up my episode details. I'm going to maybe slip and call them show notes.
You probably
please,
will. That's all right. I'll ignore it. So, yeah.
Anyhow. And I do that as I'm listening to the show. As I'll type them up. I come up with a title. As I'm listening, as I do my edit,
right?
I call it my edit, as you guys call my assembly process.
That works for.
I'm working on my episode details. I've already grabbed links. I normally do links during the show itself, and I'll start just a text document where I just paste in all my links so I have them. So when I go to do my episode details, I can put the show notes together perfectly and they're ready to go. And I can continue to call them show notes because that show from there goes into an app called Captivate. I use Captivate for all of my podcasting now. I was on Libsyn. Libsyn was fine, but I got tired of the designed with MS Word interface. Anyway, I upload to Captivate. I put the show notes into Captivate so it appears in the app, which is really nice. And then those are the same that same text is what I use for the posts on my website, because I have a podcast website, as you should too. And that's how it goes. Captivate up. Captivate blasts it out. It goes everywhere from Captivate, Spotify, Apple Store, TuneIn. Wherever all
not anymore.
The shows
TuneIn's
go.
Dead, but that's
TuneIn.
Fine. So
it just died. Actually, TuneIn isn't dead, and TuneIn's actually still a thing. If you ask your dingus to say play Soma FM, it comes through the TuneIn pipe still
for now.
I don't want everybody's phone to wake up and because I said SIRI.
Hang on, I don't know that term.
it's the new alphabet phone. Hey, dingus.
Yes.
No, it's not.
Yes, yes.
So.
All right, so you release it on Captivate, and then what? Your show is released. What, so, do you schedule? Do you release it immediately? How do you do it?
Here's what happens. There's two parts that happen. Is the listener part. The listener.
I got it.
The pre-show that we use for our big fans.
Yeah.
That goes up first, and that doesn't go in the main feed. I've figured out a kind of a hack for Captivate. So what I can do is I put that and I upload it so that it's there and it's available and I can send like links to download and that kind of thing. I don't want it in my main feed because I absolutely positively don't edit. That's the other thing about the pre-show is I literally take it from when we start recording until I say goodbye.
Yep.
And all of that, warts and all, goes up. Disconnects, whatever. It's really inside baseball. So I put that into Captivate. I exclude it from my main feed, and I put it in a playlist on Captivate because Captivate has a playlist feature, and their playlist feature recently got the ability to provide an RSS for the playlist.
Oh!
So now you can have content that you can subscribe to without it being in your main feed, which is fantastic. And you can also do it for free. You don't have to hide it behind a paywall.
Right.
But also with Captivate, you can hide it behind a paywall. Sheila, go.
I have a question.
Yes.
So you're posting. What is your schedule?
My schedule is normally it used to be a show we recorded on Thursdays, show went live the following Monday. Now we record when we record, and it goes live when I'm done editing it, uploading it. I just make it go live into the feed as soon as it's done.
So that's what kind of frequency these
days? Quarterly. Thank you. Yeah, used to have to, and you guys remember this, and if you've been doing podcasting as long as we have, you would remember this, is we used to try to make sure that our shows always went live on the same day because people were trained by network television They were episodic. They were ready for Friends on Thursday night. They were ready for West Wing on Thursday night, whatever. And so you get them in the habit of, it's like, oh, it's Monday. It means there's a new episode of White Roof Radio as I drive to work.
Right.
Right. And you get people in that habit. And that got us to a point where we had 2,000 to 3,000 listeners per episode.
Nice.
Back when we were doing that, which was really great. And now our current episodes, we're getting about 600 listeners for the regular episodes, which I'm still really happy with. And we get 50 to 100 listeners on the pre-show stuff. So that's that whole process. Once it's done, then I upload it to my WordPress website. It's a WordPress installation. It's for using a podcast plugin. I mean, a podcast theme that I found. I'll link that theme up in the show notes because it's actually really great. There's a free and a paid version. The free version is amazing. Paid version is even better. I haven't paid yet, but that's on my list of things to do. I use it for most of my podcasts. And you have to make sure that you have your own website for your podcast. There's a lot of people that don't do that, or they try to do something free. Don't do that. We'll talk more later, but don't do that because it's dumb. Have your own website. It goes up and then that goes out. That's the one that I'll schedule. So it goes to the main news site, which is, which I put up when he wants it to go live based on his editorial schedule.
Who's he?
Oh, Gabe. Sorry. Gabe runs the news site.
Ah.
So, and I post on the news site as well. And I have for years. And I'm the editor and not the editor, but I'm the administrator for his WordPress and his server and all of that. So I take care of all of his stuff. And in exchange, he lets me post the show. But I have to follow his schedule. So it's like, hey, I want to get the show up. And he's like, can you do it for whenever? And I go, there, it's done. Go.
So do you schedule a Captivate?
No. No, because it's in the feed. It's in the feed. So if you subscribe, you already have it. This is for...
Now we're in promotion.
This is in the promotional side. So for our website, and I actually haven't posted a show, and I can tell that I didn't post a show in my stats, which has been very interesting, that I'm not getting as many downloads as I normally get because I didn't post a show to the website.
Mm.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So yeah, it goes on my website, and it goes on the other website, and then that's it. From there, there's no other promotion to do. I make sure I'm practicing good SEO efforts. So I've got good titles. All my stuff is dialed in as best as it can be. There is no outside. I will post to Mastodon a link. I don't have any other socials to do and anymore. There's no, the main promotional channels are Twitter, Facebook, Insta, and Threads. And I can't post to any of those places anymore. Even if I could, Facebook doesn't amplify audio or links for that matter.
Yep.
Instagram, oh my God, I am not going to try to make a vertical video version of my show. I don't have that much hustle in me. I really don't. And I'm not trying to make big money off of this.
Right.
If you're trying to make huge monetization money off of your podcast,
good luck.
Then good luck with that. But also, you're going to have a copy of Adobe Premiere floating around so that you can make your vertical videos from the stuff you download from Riverside, which I can't be bothered. And also, because it's all anyway, you can't promote audio, but you can't promote audio anymore.
Right.
You just can't. They ignore those links. They don't get any traction. You can pay Facebook $20 to promote a link, and you will still not get any conversions on that link that you paid $20 for.
Right.
So, promotion for me is, like I said, SEO, the two websites, and you know here. Like, oh, hey, yeah, I do White Roof Radio. I talk about Mini Coopers. Or, you know, I talk to other people, the occasional message board post, that kind of thing. But you can't do that a lot because people get mad. That's promotion. You can't do that, blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, my God, just people are insane. Promoting is hard. Promoting is hard. If I had to get back into promoting this again, what I would actually do is I would start just going to all of the clubs for Mini Coopers. I would just go to all the Mini Clubs because that's my niche. My niche is Mini Coopers. Mm-hmm. And I would just lean into those clubs and just like, hey, guys, and start participating in those message boards again, become part of the community again, re-become a leader in the community again, make nice with the message board operator admins and say, hey, can I share my show?
Yep.
Type stuff. Right. It's a lot of work and you're going to want it. And that's my promotional effort. We used to do a lot more. We used to do live dealer promotions with Mini Cooper dealers. New dealer would open, grand opening. We would come out and host their grand opening for a fee.
Of course.
They paid us a very much. I charged a lot of money. I was very proud of the work that Todd and I did.
Very smart.
And I usually made $1,500 cash, extra money for that.
Nice.
Yeah. It was. Nice. And this was back 15 years ago.
And that's nothing to the dealers, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. It was like a $3,000 invoice coming out of a marketing budget. They didn't care. Right. And that was a lot for him, a lot for me. Plus it covered our expenses.
Right.
And so that was really cool. And that was a good way to promote because we were out in front of people doing the Mini Takes Estates events, the Mini United. We would get out in front of people. When I used to go to Mini Cooper events, get out in front of people. It's like, hey, I do a podcast, Mini Cooper, you know, and I've got stickers on my car and. So that's, I'm a little old school like that. So like that. And that's how it's going. We do a show quarterly now. There's not a lot happening in Mini Cooper world. We're all older and we're all busy. And there's a little bit less interest with my co-hosts, except for one. And I'm working towards adjusting that. Are there any further questions?
Do you own a Mini, Don?
Not anymore, I don't. But I do have a BMW product. I own Minis. I own Minis since 2003. My second but Mini.
I will say.
Yes.
I own a Mini because of you.
See?
Exactly. And therefore, Chuck owns a Mini.
We own
because
Mini. Yeah.
You owned our first Mini, which I miss Sophia greatly. But somebody
I hated my version of that car.
Oh, I love my version.
So
yours was
that was a fun drive to San Diego.
It's a blast.
I spent an entire day in that car with a good friend of mine, but she had the JCW version.
Yep. How often do you and how soon do you follow up to see stats on?
Oh, good question.
Oh, that's a really good.
Garrett. 3 hours. How many people?
So Garrett.
That's too frequent.
Yeah. So Garrett's asking about stats, and let's talk about stats for a sec.
Yeah.
When I first started doing this, and I found out that stats were a thing, then oh my god.
Well, yeah.
I mean, all the time, forever, every day. 18 times a day, I was in my server logs going, oh, dude. And I'm texting everybody, oh my God, we got 4 more downloads, right? Every day. Now I don't even check at all. I had a check, in fact, today, but I just can't be bothered because I've gotten past it. I've been doing this for 20 years. I get excited and Todd and I will poke in and we'll say, oh, look, we've got 500 downloads this week. We still got it. Perfect. That's all we need to know.
The greatest thing for me, because you use Captivate and I use Captivate as well, the greatest thing for me is their analytics dashboard, that top line that says how many people are actually listening to your show, not an episode.
Yep.
What is your total audience? That to me is the best.
Yeah, thing. It is super cool.
Yeah.
But that's a great question. Thank you, Garrett.
Tell me about the changes in your life, relationships you built, skills you've learned.
I thought we covered that in the introduction. So because of the Mini Cooper, because I bought one in 2003.
But beyond that. Just building that Mini Cooper
I live in Arizona because during running White Roof Radio, meeting people all over the United States, traveling to Philadelphia, meeting a girl in Philadelphia who ends up moving to Arizona, and I end up moving to Arizona with her, and then breaking up with her because she moved back to the East Coast, but a coworker of hers was dating the woman that I ended up marrying.
Wow.
Hmm.
So you wouldn't run into your wife without
correct. I wouldn't be sitting here tonight doing this. I wouldn't have met any of you. I would have met Evo because I've met him before I moved out here once at some random podcast thing a million years ago. And it was like a run by, oh, hi, yeah, Evo. Yeah, I know you are.
And we have mutual friends.
And we have mutual friends because of the Mini Cooper. Yes.
So,
yeah. It's insane. And all of this is because I bought a car.
What advice would you give to somebody who's on the fence about maybe starting a podcast?
Don't.
Oh, I don't buy a Mini.
Don't. You can buy a Mini now. Buy a new one. Brand new one. If you're starting a podcast now, number one, don't think you can make money doing a podcast. If you're starting a podcast because you want to make money, yeah, just don't. And make sure you pick something to talk about that you're passionate about. Make sure that you get to the point. Don't faff about. Don't give me 5 minutes of intro music. Nobody wants to hear that. And make sure it sounds as best as you can make it. And have fun.
Yeah. So not talking hard dollar amounts, but in general, recurring expenses, like you've talked about your hardware, mm-hmm. that was a one-time purchase.
One-time purchase.
Captivates a
monthly.
Once a year.
Podcast.
Software, anything.
$100 a year. My podcasting in general, if I were to break it down, costs me $100 a month. Ish. And that's about right. And you should
get some income from it.
I do, because the Buy Me a Coffee, I usually get enough to cover my web hosting bill.
Okay.
So my web host is $50 a month, and I host all my websites myself with WordPress because I'm a nerd like that. And then Captivate's, what, 20 a month, I think? Something like that, not very much.
18 if you pay for the annual. Yeah. Yeah.
And if you break out my Hindenburg subscription monthly, and then any random other expenses that would be show related, it works out to be about $100 a month. So
that's probably a good thing to add in there. What's it cost me to podcast?
Yeah, what's it cost? Yeah. I mean, my microphone was
inspired you to get started.
Well, Don did that at the beginning of it. I think that's part
I actually didn't, because what happened is this was 2004. When did you start? 2004, yeah. Right? So it was 2004, and I'm hearing Adam, and I'm hearing you, and I'm hearing Mignon, and I'm hearing, yeah. And we're watching the Bring a Trailer. We're watching the Ask a Ninja. We're watching Rocket Boom, the Dignation guys doing all this. This is all really, really cool stuff, right? And then Leo Laporte makes a show, and I'm going, fuck, if Leo can do it, how hard can it be? Because, and this is the funny part, because at that particular moment in time, at that particular moment in time, Don Burnside didn't realize that Leo Laporte had a 500,000 years of radio experience under his belt.
He did. Yeah. And TV.
Yep. And had I known that at that time, I probably would have said, oh, no. But no, me and my stick mic, we jumped right to it, and oh, it's awful. I'll find it.
Yeah.
It's available. I'll link it up. It'll be in the episode details for you guys.
The first few months are painful, aren't they? I'm glad I lost mine.
Oh, it's more than that. So, and that's actually another something that I wanted to mention too, is your first show will suck. And I told every time I give this talk, it's the same thing. Your first show is going to suck. Your first 10 shows are going to suck. You're going to hate them. It took us 100 episodes to get to the point where we're at now. We make a show now. We don't even think about it. And we've done 700 episodes. Regular episodes, we've recorded probably almost 3,000 audio pieces with interviews and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So we've done a lot of work.
Has it always been
us four?
The four people. Okay.
It's always been four people. We had another host once before, and he kind of comes and goes whenever. He's a maker of sorts, but we like him a lot, and he's welcome back anytime. We've had others that come and go, but the four main crew have never changed for 20 years. Chad's only been with us for 18, but 20 years.
He's the newbie.
He's the newbie, yeah, exactly. So that's it. That's my podcast.
Cool. There you go.
Stick around. This will be available probably donburnside.com. I'm going to figure out a way to put it over at phoenixpodcast.club as well. And I'll post up in the Discord, and Evil will blast this out on the email thing as soon as I have it ready for you guys to listen to.
Sweet.
Thank you very much. Bye.